And the title of my message this morning is Finding Riches in a Time of Lack. Finding Riches in a Time of Lack. And it's kind of cool how the worship and the testimonies and everything pretty much already preached what I was going to say. So let's just pray. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it's like there's a Holy Spirit that's putting all this stuff together and he's guiding us, right? So, but I'm really excited to share this with you because we're going to be in the book of James, and there's a particular passage that the Lord's just continually bringing back to me. And so Greg and Michelle are in Dothan. I think someone mentioned that. And so they'll be back next week, but they're connecting with our sister church out there, which we're excited about. But when Greg asked me to preach, it was the first thing that just jumped out at me, this concept of finding riches in a time of lack. So I just want to jump in with reading out of James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. And I want to read it in the message because I like the conversational aspect. We'll read it in the NIV as well. But starting in verse 5, it says, if you don't know what you are doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. Now, hold on a second. How many of you have ever been in that position where you go, I don't know what I'm doing? I'll wait. I'll wait for more hands to go up. Right? We've been in those situations where, you know, you're looking at something or a circumstance, maybe traveling, mission, all those things, and you just come to that realization where you go, I don't know what I'm doing. And honestly, that's a great place for us to be. That's a great place for us to be. But let me keep reading. So if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all of your options open. And we'll come back to that part. But let me read it to you again in the NIV, which is probably the one we're more familiar with. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So I want to focus this morning, then we'll talk about the whole thing. On verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And there's three riches that come out of that I want to share with you. But before we do, that word lack, if any of you lacks wisdom, the word lack is like a signpost for us. It's a signpost that something is there, according to James 1 through 5. And I really believe it's not just wisdom. I believe this is the character and nature of our God. If any of you lacks, and then you fill in the blank, lacks provision. It's not like God sitting up there going, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask me and I'll give generously. But if it's provision, you're on your own. You know, if it's, you need, no, you're on your own. It's the character and nature of our God who loves to give us things that we need. And we'll read some scripture that talks about that. So this morning, you can insert in that blank, man, I feel like I'm lacking this, or this is my lack. And in the scripture, he says wisdom, but I think it's a blank that we get to fill in. But lack, honestly, is a signpost that should grab our attention and point to riches. It's like an X marks the spot when we're looking for treasures. You know, if you walked up on a beach and you see this big black X, what are you going to do? You start digging, right? So that's what lack is. It stands as an opportunity. Sorry, my thing is bugging me. It stands as an opportunity for us to find the riches in the situation, but the enemy would love to make that the focal point. So I want to share something that, you know, not too long ago, we were able to give a testimony. Katie gave a testimony about how the Lord provided for her school. And we didn't have a long time to go into great detail, and I want to fill in some of the side things. And honestly, it's going to sound very similar to what the Moses shared this morning, because it is. It's very similar, the same thing that the Lord did. But it started from a message that Greg shared, and Michelle and I, on the way home, we were talking, and we started thinking about the call that God has on every single one of us to be missional, to reach outside of who we are as a family and what we're doing, and to reach out to our community, to our neighbors and people around us. And so we began to think, how can we do this as a family? How can we be more missional? I, Love being on staff here. Love being a part of Northlands, and we could do that here. But we really felt a sense from the Lord saying, going outside of these walls, going outside in the community, and how can we be missional? So we spent some time praying, and we were asking the Lord, you know, what does this look like, and what can it do? We were lacking wisdom for that scenario, and so we turned to the Lord. This is where Katie's testimony comes in, because in a time where we were soaking and spending time before the Lord, not for anything except just being in the Lord's presence, Katie, when we went around the room and said, what did you feel like the Lord shared? She said, I felt like the Lord said to go to Providence, which is a Christian school that she is now, if you heard the testimony, everything, she's now attending. And so a way for us to honor that as parents was to say, hey, well, let's consider that. You know, if that's what the Lord spoke to you, then let's consider that. And so the very next day, I called the school. We talked to them. We filled out an application. I sent in the application fee. When we prayed in response to that, I didn't feel like the Lord was saying no. So we moved forward to honor that our daughter felt like this is what the Lord was saying. So then after a phone call to the school, she began to tell me how much the school would cost. And it was, for us, it was like, oh my gosh. So I immediately started thinking of, you know, how can we do this? And asked them, well, do you give a pastor's discount? And no, we charge double. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't say that. Just kidding. They said, no, there's a lot of people who minister, and so we found that it would just be easier to give everybody a discount. So they said, if you're in ministry, we can give you a 10% discount. And I said, can we flip that? I'll pay the 10 and you pay the 90. And I might be able to do that. And so in conversation with the admissions counselor there, it from the physical, it looked like this isn't going to happen. You know, I can't see a way that this is going to happen. I don't know how to do this, you know. And so as we began to talk, and I was honest and said, you know, this is where we're at, and it looks like this, but I appreciate your effort. And we kept circling around the possibility, and it felt like it was just waiting for something to open. And then she mentioned something. She said, hey, have you ever considered having international students? I said, actually, not necessarily. She said, we do have some international students that need to find housing. And I don't know if that'd be something you'd be interested in. I could connect you with the person. And immediately what goes through my head is I was adopted. And my wife growing up was around foster care in her home. She has four adopted brothers. Her parents did a lot of international care where people came in for school years another time. And so it's just been a part of our life and what we do. So I said, wow, that could be a great possibility. So I got connected with a lady. We talked, and she began to say, well, this is what it would look like. I'm going to go fast forward now. So they came over and looked at our home, met us. We talked through what it would look like. And I still, never being involved in this, I didn't know how this was going to happen or how this would work. But we just kept feeling the Lord prompting us to move forward as we would ask and seek him. So long story short, so they said, hey, we've got an international student that we'd love to place in your home. And so then we went over the details. This is kind of a funny little side note. She's not with us today because she's not feeling well. But I have three daughters and one son who lives at home. And so when he heard that it was going to be another girl, he kind of went, oh, my gosh, I don't need another mom. You know, that's what he literally said. And we were like, oh, Joe, it's okay. And he was like, oh, I'm devastated. I was hoping for another boy. You know, we could turn the tables and take over. And then about a week later, she came back and said, hey, I don't know if you've ever been interested, but we're also trying to place a boy. Would you be interested in taking two? I said, just give them all to us. You know, what is it? No. I said, you know, is it a boy? And she said, yeah, it is. And very similar ages. And so we went back, and which we had kept our family involved. Hey, what do you guys think about this? It's an opportunity for us to be missional to people from another country. And they were like, oh, yes. And that turned into, well, they could share a room with me, and we could do this, and I'll move out of my room. The whole family was in. And so they did place a young lady who's 16 that shares a room with Hope, and then they also placed a boy who is, he's 11. He's 12. He's 12 years old, and he's sharing with Joe. So Joe got his wish. But here's the amazing thing. Through all of this, it's kind of like what the Mosier said. It wasn't that God supplied what we needed to be able to put Katie to school. It was double what we needed. He supplied double for what we needed for that. And it's for me, it's one of those amazing testimonies that stands to the goodness of God, that when you're in a season of lack, to look for the riches. And so I want to explain the riches, because yes, there was financial provision, but it just wasn't that. Some of the riches to us that we found in this was the encouragement to my daughter that she hears from the Lord. That's priceless. That's priceless for the Lord to orchestrate this thing, that it started with her and she gets to see it come all the way around. There was wisdom to back what we felt like the Lord was saying with being more missional, but we didn't know how it was going to come about. And it gives us the faith to experience and say, Lord, would you do that again in other areas of our life? So we saw riches in provision, in wisdom, in faith, in direction, and actually in sacrifice as the whole family jumped on board. So I want to help you this morning find three riches that to help you remember if you ever find yourself in a place of lack. And some of these are, you know, you'll see. Some of these are very obvious. Number one, God is generous. He's generous. In James 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you lacks whatever, ask God who what? Gives generously. We serve a God who is generous. The word generous means liberal in giving, characterized by generosity and willingness to give in large amounts, given freely and abundantly. Now, I was looking through scripture over words of that speak generosity, and I love how the word uses words like abundance and lavishes and all of these, and there's too many for me to read, but I just want to read a few that really jumped out at me. It says, God is able to bless you abundantly. This is 2 Corinthians 9:8. So then at all things and at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Speaking of his abundance. 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. He lavishes his love on us. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us with all wisdom and understanding. He's generous, and he's generous with a ton of stuff. I know that this is a lot right here, but we're going to put up this slide. I just want to run through this. This will be in the notes if you want a copy of this. But let me show you some of the areas, just the tip, some of the areas that he's generous with. He's generous in his son, John 3:16, his forgiveness. We have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. He's generous with his love. God's demonstrated his own love for us in this. His direction, this is the way, walk in it. His gifts, his kindness, his grace. Receive God's abundant provision of grace. His provision richly provides us with everything. His care, his joy. The God of hope fills you with all joy. His power, his incomparably great power that is for us. His righteousness, his favor, his peace, his hope. He's generous. That's who he is. And we have access to ask in a time of lack, whatever it is, and that his response when we ask is to give generously to all. There was another time where, this is going back a while, where we were spending time praying as a family and soaking in the Lord's presence. And it was back when we were in Texas, and we happened to be in a position where things were just tight. I was having to take on a second job and do the ministry, and it was just one of those moments where things are tight. And so in the midst of that, it was later in the evening, and Michelle was spending some time praying and soaking with the kids, and Amaris, one of our daughters, had a vision of, I believe it was our refrigerator, but a refrigerator that had ketchup and all this stuff in it, but when she looked in the freezer, it didn't have anything. There was no meat, there was no nothing in the freezer, and it was empty. And it was pretty much the condition of our refrigerator at that time. And so Michelle says, well, what do you think the Lord is saying? And she says, I think the Lord's saying that we should pray for our refrigerator to be filled. And how old was Amaris? was this last week? No, I'm just kidding. Five or six years old. And so she prayed, and then her and I left because some dear friends of ours were moving out of the country, and we wanted to go over and help them pack up their last stuff. They had some stuff to put together. So we're over at their house. It's late at night, 11 or 12, and we're packing things up. We're moving stuff, final package, because it's all being shipped in one of the shipping containers. And so it's like, hey, could you help us move this deep freezer? And he pops open the lid, and guess what's in it? All of the stuff that they meant to give away to people, and a floor freezer just packed with stuff. And they're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with this? And I didn't say anything, neither did Michelle. We're kind of like, maybe neighbors. And then she just looks at us and goes, you know what? You need to take all this. You need to take it. And so I'm like, no, that's like a ton. They're like, no, you need to take this. So they start boxing this. So they box, I don't know how many boxes of freezer stuff. When we got home and put it in there, there was too much that would fit in our freezer. And then last look, they opened the pantry, and the pantry, they forgot to pack up all the food in the pantry. So we went home with Costco, right? No joke. We went home with all this stuff, and the coolest thing was in the morning when the kids woke up to go, Amaris, why don't you go look in the freezer? Because while you were sleeping, while you were resting, yeah. While you were resting, the Lord was responding to your prayer. And they were blown away. And we were to such an exciting moment to see the Lord's provision come in a time of lack. But in all over that lack was an opportunity to see God's generosity come. Yes, do it again, Lord. So number one, God is generous. Number two, fault is no longer a measurement God uses. Think about this. Fault is no longer a measurement that God uses. See, James says, ask God who gives generously, and he gives generously to who? Say that again. Gives generously to who? All. And what's the condition? He gives generously to all without finding fault. Fault's a big thing in this regard. The enemy, you guys know I'm animated in the way I think, right? Sometimes I feel like the enemy's standing there with a beatdown stick, and he's just waiting. So you find yourself in a place of lack that's a signpost to the riches that God wants to provide for you. And you go, I'm going to ask the Lord. And then he begins to remind you of why you're disqualified. You messed up. You already had a chance. Look what happened last time. How many of you guys know that's what he likes to do? And there's a part of me that goes, you know what? Just grab that beat stick out of his hand and start beating him with the generosity of God, remembering what he's done. Because the enemy tries to use that it's your fault for the condition you're in. Or it's your fault because there's lack. Or it's your fault. But God, according to Scripture here, he doesn't use fault as a measurement any longer because of who we are in Christ. See, everything was paid for on the cross. So you have forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. It was put on the cross. It's been dealt with. And the enemy sometimes tries to use that fault. Lack, honestly, lack is a temporary reality that the enemy tries to establish as a permanent truth, but it's not. It's temporary reality. It's something that's a condition, but it should be a signpost to remind us of the riches that God has in store for us. Because if any of you lacks, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. What kind of generosity? Double what you need. What kind of generosity? More than your refrigerator can hold. What kind of generosity? Abundant. And he doesn't use fault or falling short or failure as a measurement to determine whether you get that or not. Isn't that good? Because you take that away, and what's left? That's the thing he uses to beat us up and try to keep us at bay, feeling like you can't ask God, because the thing we have to do is ask. The simple thing is to ask. When Amira said, I think the Lord's saying we should pray for our fridge, all she did was ask, Lord. It wasn't this eloquent, long prayer. It was, Lord, would you fill our fridge? Amen. All right, off to bed. I mean, that's how it was. It wasn't, are you with me? And so what the Lord did is he filled it. But he doesn't use fault as a measurement, because I'm sure if you would have looked at our lives in that moment, you could have found fault with us. You could have found areas that we weren't doing what we should, or whatever words work that the enemy speaks to us about. But see, the truth is, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're empowered. You've been given everything you need for life and godliness. And the enemy with his beat stick wants to take that away from you. And it's time that we don't allow him anymore. Lack is that signpost that points to the riches that God has in store for us. It's a temporary reality, not the permanent truth. You know, there's one time, and I can't get into all the details because it's about Matthew, and he's so close to the soundboard, he'd probably hit mute. No, I'm just kidding. There's a time when Matthew was younger that he came into a thing where he, in his mind, did probably the worst thing he could ever do, felt horribly guilty, just, oh my gosh, I can't believe, and came to me with, you know, confessing to me, Dad, this is what I did, and I'm so sorry. And as he came to me and confessed, I didn't have to find out. I didn't have to, you know, pull it out of him. He came sobbing and confessed to me what had taken place. And I remember sitting there looking at him, thinking, I need to respond. You know, as a parent, I need to respond to this. But the responses that I thought of didn't fit with the way he was coming. Are you with me? And so I sat there bewildered. I didn't know what to do. I found myself in that place where I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. And so I remember telling him, I said, you know what, Matthew? You know, let's pray. And we prayed. And I said, you know, I'm just going to give this some thought, and then we'll talk. So I remember going to my room and going, Lord, this is crazy. I'm not sure what to do in this situation, because what I feel in my heart and what I know is all this stuff, I'm struggling. And the Lord very specifically said, I'm going to have you teach him something. I said, okay. So I went back to him, and in looking for what to say, I said, so Matthew, what do you think your punishment should be for this? And I think he said something like, I should be grounded for 28 years. So he gets off in two years. No, I mean, he was really upset, and he's thinking of the worst things that you could ever do. And this is no joke. I'm sitting there, and the Lord says, show him grace. So I said, you know what, Matthew? You're not punished. We're not going to do anything. He was literally like, what? Almost like, that's worse, you know? And I said, no, because if I was to do anything, it would to be to bring you to the state of recognition and humility. But you're there. I can't bring you there. You're there. And so I just hugged him. We prayed together. And I'm sure Matthew, we joke about that. He still remembers, you know, that moment. But can I tell you something? My gosh, that's what the Father does. So we come thinking, I've done this horrible, bad, I'm just, you know, you need to ground me for 28 years, you know. And he just goes, come here. And he just gives us this big hug. And he just loves us. Because for those of us in Christ Jesus, fault is no longer a measurement that the Lord uses. So when the enemy tells you otherwise, beat him back with the truth. Lack happens, right? We all go through seasons of lack. We just determine whether that becomes a focal point that the enemy uses to beat us up, or a signpost to the riches that await us. Lastly, number three. So God is generous. He doesn't use fault as a measuring tool. And lastly is walking in assurance. Walking in assurance. At the end, he says, ask. If any of you is lacking wisdom or whatever it is, ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. What does it say next? And he will give it to you. Let me go back real quick. Bear with me. Here we go. And it will be given to you. Everyone say will. Will. It will be given to you. Walking in assurance. See, the beauty of walking in assurance is being in that place where you put your trust and faith in God to bring the circumstances around to align with what you know the truth says. It didn't make sense to me that Katie would be able to go to this school. It didn't make sense to me in the natural that I could go to a friend's house to help them move and they wouldn't have taken care of all their food. There's so many things that in the natural don't make sense to us. But the beauty of this is God's a way maker. Do you know that? He goes before you. He goes before you to set things in motion. So when you come along, what you need is there. Amen. He goes before you. So in 5 weeks, as the Moses testified, instead of 13 weeks, there's more that's needed. He goes before you and has friends forget to clean out their freezer and their, you know, in their pantry so that he can supply for that need because of somebody who asked. Walking in assurance is huge. Now I want to tackle one aspect of this passage we haven't talked about, because in the message it says ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. And then he says people who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. See, walking in assurance is continually fighting the fight, if you will, the enemy trying to get you to focus on the lack, and you choose to focus on the riches that God has in store. That's the battle with this. And so the double-minded, as the NIV says, or in this case, keeping all of your options open, is speaking to the one that doesn't believe that all you have to do is ask, and that he gives generously to all without finding fault. That's the crux right there. Believing that, you close the other options. Believing in that, you put your hope and trust in him only, not in all the other things. And I don't know about you, but I have found myself in places where as I figure out how I can deal with this situation. How many of you guys have ever been in a season of lack? Right? And so we figure out what we can do. If we're talking financially, what we can spend, you know, sell, how can I make this work for this season? Are you with me on that? And so in this case, it's asking God, here's my lack, provision. Here's my lack, financial need. How many times have we heard the testimony is the checks that come out of nowhere in the mail? How many times you got a refund that you didn't expect? And all that was needed was asking, because he doesn't hold your fault against you, and it's his nature to give generously. All we have to do is ask. To not ask is I'm keeping all my other options open in case what? What? In case it doesn't work. In case God doesn't come through. In case he's not generous. In case all of a sudden out of nowhere he said, you know, I don't find fault for anybody except you, Tom Borsick. You're the exception to the rule. That's not how my father talks. Someone else speaks like that. And he needs the beat down stick on him. So the beauty of this is walking in that place in assurance that who God said he is, and he's faithful to do what he said. We won't know all the details. We won't know the length of time. We won't know how long this comes to pass, but it still shouldn't waver us from the truth, which is we ask, and he gives generously to all without finding fault. So I'm going to give you 3 quick practical things. And it's just an acronym that spells ASK. They're going to put it up here for you. So the A is abundance. You're going to, well, the first thing you got to do is ask, right? So there's your ASK, ask. Everyone say ask. Yes. You ask God. It's simple. It's like my daughter saying, would you fill the, it's simple. Ask God. And why? Because he's a God of abundance. He's a generous God, loving and kind, and loves, according to James, loves to help. Everyone say loves to help. He loves to help. He's not up there counting, well, let's see, if I give this to Jackson, then I don't have enough over here. Well, here's a little. No, he's generous. We've already established that. He's a generous. So recognize in the asking that you're going to the God of abundance. The next thing is settle. We've got to settle this truth in our heart. The truth is that God gives generously to all without finding fault. That's the truth. Amen? Amen. Settle that. And then lastly, know. Know that he's faithful and trustworthy. And if there's a delay in your asking, know that he is faithful and trustworthy. How many of you guys know sometimes we enter a long battle? The Bible's full of it. Stand on the truth. I'm going to ask because he's generous without finding fault. And he's going to answer my prayer. Finding riches in the place of lack starts with asking and identifying who the God is that we serve and watching him with the result. And then the only other thing we got to do is testify about it. And we hear testimonies like the Mosiers. That, I don't know about you. Someone said earlier, do it again. Do it in this situation in my life. Because it's not like the Lord goes, well, they're favored. You can't have what they have. No, you can have what they have because he's a generous God who gives generously to all. Amen? So let me close with this. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this truth that we look at today. And God, I just pray you would massage that into our heart. An understanding that our job is to ask and honestly rest in the rest. Ask you who give generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given. And so, Father, I pray this morning that as there are potential places of lack in our life, that this right now would be something that we would step into. So just in this attitude of prayer, this morning, if there is an area of lack in your life you can identify, maybe it's one of the ones I've mentioned, maybe it's something else, but Holy Spirit speaking, you know this is the lack, then I want you, let's walk in that right now together, just you between the Lord. I want you to ask the Lord to supply because we know he's generous. And he gives to us as we need. Ask God, right? Just lift that lack and say, Lord, would you? And then whatever it is, you fill in the blank. Lord, I thank you that you're the God who gives generously to all without finding fault. And Lord, I pray that today would be a day that becomes packed with unbelievable testimonies. And whether it's for something small or whether it's for something huge, I thank you, Lord, that you give generously to us without finding fault, and it will be given to us. So, Father, all of these areas of lack that we lift to you, we do so in faith, believing that you will provide, because that's who you are. Your character and nature is one who loves to give lavished, abundant, generous gifts to his children. And so, Father, we lift these and we ask for you to provide whatever the lack is. And we trust in you for that. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.